Well, thank you for that charge, for that message. And I haven't timed my message either, so. But I can tell you this, normally my notes are about 8 pages, and I only have four pages and one main verse today. And so I believe now it is my duty to charge and to equip you. And I plan to do that by starting in the Gospel of John. And some would say, well, why start with John? And I would say, well, why not? One reason is that the Gospel of John is 21 chapters long. And so, conservatively speaking, we should be there within the next 50 to 60 weeks. So praise God that you'll know where I will be preaching, and this helps both the preacher and the congregation. Another reason is that you will soon find out who I think Jesus is. Because I believe unequivocally, unapologetically, unashamedly, that Jesus is the Son of God. And that by believing in Him, you and I may have eternal life. And this, in fact, is the reason for the Gospel of John. The disciple actually gives us his purpose statement towards the last to second chapter in his account. John 20, verse 31 says, "These are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in His name." And this will be referenced over and over again as we trek through this gospel. We talked about in Sunday school this morning, a plug for Sunday school again, that John will use the word believe over 100 times in this gospel. And it is tied to eternal life. We need to believe, and we need to ask God to help overcome our unbelief. We need to know why we believe the things that we do. And when a new believer comes to saving faith, we don't tell him to read the book of Leviticus or the book of Numbers, do we? We tell him to read the book of John. And it's so simple, and yet so profound, because John gives us both imagery and clarity that Jesus is the Son of God, and that by believing in Him, we can have eternal life. As far as authorship, we see in John 13:23, the disciple whom Jesus loved. And this is also in chapter 21, verses 7 and 20. And not to preach opinion, but I and many other scholars obviously believe that this is the brother of James, the son of Zebedee, nicknamed the Sons of Thunder. And there seems to be little doubt that the writer of the Gospel of John is none other than the disciple John, who is mentioned in the other Gospel accounts, and he's usually within that special three, that inner three, the closest of Jesus' followers, with Peter and with James. We also have outside evidence of John's authorship. We have Irenaeus, who was Polycarp's disciple, who was John's own disciple, testifying that John was the author. Now, John is different than Matthew, Mark, and Luke, or the Synoptic Gospels. Synoptic meaning the general view of the whole, the synopsis of what they saw and what they remembered. In the Gospel of Luke, if you know, it says that he wants to give an orderly account of the events that take place. The Gospel of John chooses 7 miracles, culminating with the resurrection of Lazarus. John calls the miracles signs, and he uses them to tell us a narrative that Jesus is the Son of God and how we are to place our faith in Christ. John will also use seven I am statements. Today, I want to just talk briefly about how the Gospel of John also references to work. Because tomorrow is Labor Day, a holiday that we have to celebrate work. In the Gospel of John, it shows us how the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit are working within themselves and how God works in us and through us. And so today I've titled my message, Working for the Lord. And we're just going to tiptoe in with the first verse of John chapter 1, verse 1, and then expound on the verses next week. But before we do, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Oh dear Lord, I thank you. I thank you again for this opportunity, for this charge to bring your word to your people. Lord, I pray that you will bless us, that you will bless the reading and the proclamation of your word. Lord, that you would keep me from error. And Lord, that you would help me to build and to equip your people. I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, what do you think of when I say the word work? Is it just a four-letter word? It is a four-letter word, but what is your theology of work? Maybe if you're retired, you might say, well, I've worked 30 years, but now it seems I'm more busy than ever, because now I watch the grandkids, I pick them up and drop them off to school, I help do this and that, and man, there's just not enough time in the day. I'm always doing something. Or maybe you're younger, and you do that grind of 40 hours a week. You've been working at the same job for maybe over just a few years, and maybe you're afraid that there might be cutbacks. Maybe your work is tiresome. Maybe your work is a real drag. But do you have a theology of work? Are you working for the Lord? Well, let's dive into the Gospel of John for just a moment. John 1:1 says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." The Gospel of John doesn't start off with a genealogy. It doesn't start off with a genealogy of Jesus. The other three Gospels do, but John is going to go before any genealogy. Because God doesn't need a genealogy. Because in the beginning, God was. God was in the beginning. God is eternal. God is. He was. And he ever will be. Genesis 1:1 starts similarly. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. It gives us the presumption that God is. And this is my first point. God was in the beginning. From Answers in Genesis, it says, "What is a worldview? A worldview comprises of one's collection of presuppositions, convictions, values, from which a person tries to understand and make sense out of the world and life. Every worldview starts with presuppositions, that is, beliefs that one presumes to be true without supporting independent evidence from other sources or systems." Would go on to say, "Science is possible because God upholds the universe in logical, orderly way, and because God made our minds able to think and to reason logically." Psalm 14:1 says that the fool says in his heart that there is no God. Psalm 19 says that the heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky and the firmament shows His handiwork. Or Romans 1:20, for ever since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, His eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that people are without excuse. In the beginning was God. And when you're talking about someone who may be agnostic or an atheist, share the gospel with them. Love them. Show Christ to them. But know that it takes more faith to believe that we evolved over billions and billions of years out of goo than God just spoke it into existence. Believing in God and who Jesus is the foundation of everything. Because if we don't trust in Him, we're left to our own desires. And what does the Word say about our hearts? It says our hearts are deceitful and desperately wicked. Because our own merits will not get us into heaven. Our own good deeds are like filthy rags, the Word says. Hebrews 11:6 says that if we don't have faith, it's impossible to please God. We must trust that He is who He says He is. Hebrews 1:1 says, long ago, in many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets, but in these last days He has spoken to us by His Son, whom He appointed the heir of all things, through whom also He created the world. He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of His nature. He upholds the universe by the word of His power. What does this have to do with work? Well, God created us for intimacy. He wants to be part of your work life. He wants you to honor Him in all that you do. He wants you to do your best for your employer or to work for the Lord. God is the Creator, and He made all things. He made you and me. Genesis 3:15, it says that the Lord God took the man and He put him in the Garden of Eden to tend it and to keep it. God gave work to Adam before Eve and before sin came into the world. And in verse 18, it says, God saw that it's not good for man to be alone. He needed a helper. Why did God make a helper? Because He needed help, right, ladies? The man needed help. Some of you will get that later. Not only does everything have a beginning, but secondly, we must believe that God is. And you'll have to excuse me, I'm not used to doing all this PowerPoint stuff, but the second point is that God is. When we come to the Scriptures, we must come with the mindset that God is. When Moses asked God, "Who shall I say sent me?" the response the Almighty gave in Exodus 3:14 was, "I am who I am." And we'll see this throughout John, that Jesus claims those "I am" statements. God is who He says He is. He is not what we want Him to be, because that would be idolatry. But God is wholly different. He's omnipotent, He's omnipresent, He's omniscient. And He loves us. And He loves it when we worship Him even through our work. And you might say, "Well, Pastor, it's easy for you. You just preach. You don't know my work environment. You don't know the music that they play. You don't know the words that they say. You may not know the things that I have to put up with." No, I don't. But I do know that each one of us are called to be a light in a dark place. And you may be the only Jesus that others see. You can work with honesty, and your attitude of work can be that different than those of your coworkers. God wants our service to be effective, efficient, and fruitful. Each one of us has time and talents and treasure that we're to give to the Lord. And the closer your walk to the Lord, the more knowledge that you have of Him, the more comfortable you will be in sharing others about what God has done in your life as you walk closer to Him. The Holy Spirit gives you power as you ask for opportunities to share the gospel and what He has done for you. God is ultimately your provider. Yes, you may have an employer, but God is the one who ultimately provides for you. Colossians 3:23 and 24 on the screen, it says, "Whatever you do, do it wholeheartedly as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ." God is the beginning, and God is, and we're to work for God. Jesus Christ did not suffer for His own sins because He had none. He was the spotless Lamb. And maybe you're going through a difficult time. Maybe you're going through a difficult season. Maybe your employer is just downright mean. Maybe your marriage is falling apart. Maybe it's your health. Whatever circumstances, if you're a Christian, God calls you to return to the great shepherd and the overseer of our souls, the one who paid the penalty of sin so that we can live a life of righteousness. Everything has a beginning, and God is who He says He is. This is God's word, and I say thanks be to God for it. Let's pray. Oh, dear Lord, I thank You for the message of the cross. I thank You that You were in the beginning. Lord, that You have made us for intimacy. You have made us even for work. Lord, I thank You for Your Son, Jesus Christ, who took on human flesh. He emptied Himself, taking even the form of a servant. Lord, I ask that each one of us would have a servant's heart. Lord, Christ humbled Himself and became obedient to death, even to death on a cross. The work of salvation was done on Calvary's cross. Lord, for this we say thank You. Not because of anything, any righteous things that we had done. We have none outside of Christ. But because of Your mercy, You saved us. Oh Lord, would You stir in us to have the mind and the attitude of Christ? Help us to have an attitude of worship even when we work. Lord, help us to work for You. Lord, convict us where we know we have sinned, and Lord, bring us to repentance. Father, we all were like sheep wandering, going astray. Help us to return to the great shepherd and overseer of our souls, because it's because He paid the penalty for us. And so, Lord, I ask that You would help us to even apply this one verse that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Lord, help us to apply the gospel to our lives, to live for Christ. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.